God told King Hezekiah he had only a few minutes to live. He should set his house in order, for he was going to die. But he asked the Lord for extension, and God gave him 15 more years, and he used those 15 years to serve his people and do good for them, because he was a God-fearing king. But eventually those 15 years came to an end. So we read in 2 Chronicles, Hezekiah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the upper tombs of the sons of David, and all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem honored him at his death. They honored him at his death, but they didn't honor him much after his death, because after him they turned away from everything he had taught them. They turned away from his example and went in the exact opposite direction. What happened after Hezekiah's death is a sad commentary on what happens quite often in history when one generation replaces another. We think back to the time of Joshua, when Joshua and the elders who were his contemporaries passed away. The new generation paid no attention to what he had taught them. They went their own ways. They did what they wanted to do, and what they wanted to do was the exact opposite of what God wanted them to do. And now here we have the same thing happening after the death of Hezekiah. We read, then Manasseh his son reigned in his place. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. When God first told Hezekiah that he was going to die, Manasseh was not even born yet, because God gave him 15 years. But now here we have this 12-year-old king who remained king until he was 67 years old. Just think what good he could have done if he had followed in his father's footsteps. But he did not. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Think of the Canaanites living in the land of Canaan before the Israelites took over. The iniquity, or the cup of their iniquity, was full, and God determined that he had to destroy them because of their abominations, their idolatry, their cruel religion, their prostitution, their immorality in so many respects. And now Hezekiah, Manasseh, instead of following Hezekiah, followed after the ways of the heathen. For this is what we read. He rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. He raised up altars for the Baals, made wooden images. He worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. He was not satisfied with one or two idols. He worshipped the male god Baal and the female counterpart. He worshipped the sun, the moon, the stars. Worst of all, he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall be my name forever. He built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. So right there on the temple grounds he established his altars, idolatrous altars. He caused his sons to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft and sorcery, consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. The Ammonites had a god called Moloch or Milcom, and they actually brought their sons to this god and burned them in the fire. And he's going to follow that religion. And he even set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God. Now this kind of activity kept on going on for almost 55 years. You'd think the people who remembered their former king Hezekiah would have tried to put a stop to this, at least had not gone along with this. Remember, they had honored Hezekiah at his death, but they followed Manasseh's wicked ways. The Bible says Manasseh seduced Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. When we read the account of Manasseh in the second book of Kings, you have the same thing. It says, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. What a 55-year period that must have been. And what does God say? God says, Behold, I am bringing such calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle. I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they have done evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger. And now we think about our own country. Anybody making a study of the changes in our country from maybe 20, 30 years ago would have to admit that there have been a lot of changes for the worse in matters of morality, especially sexual morality. Things like abortion, the killing of innocent life, millions put to death for no reason at all except their own, the parents' convenience, as they call it. All of these sins are in evidence among us in our own country, and yet God has been merciful, and He still allows us to be a prosperous nation, material goods aplenty, and best of all, He still allows us to have this service here and other services where the gospel, the good news of Jesus, can still be proclaimed, because that's what God uses to improve things. The only way that can really improve them is through the Word of God. We can proclaim God's law and God's gospel.